that will be for this message, the short message this morning. And I will be reading from James chapter 1, and I'll be reading two verses, verses 2, 3, and 4, actually, three verses. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And the word of God says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Amen. You guys may be seated. At one point or another in our life, we will face various kinds of tests. And life is full of many different types of tests. When we were young, there was a time where we went through grade school or high school. And throughout that time that we were there learning, being taught by our teachers, taught by our professors, there was a time where we had to be tested with the knowledge that was being taught to us. There was a time where we had to seclude ourselves to learn, to grow, and then eventually be tested so that whatever it is that we were learning, whatever it is that we were gaining in knowledge would prove true that we have gained. And all these different tests that we go through in life have their purpose of qualifying us for different stages of life. Now, the problem that is evident in life with tests that we experience and that we know is that tests are oftentimes not fun to prepare for. Tests take a lot of preparation. They take a lot of sacrifice where you set apart yourself maybe to be alone so you can learn the material, where you humble yourself to be taught from somebody else who knows something about a particular topic or subject. And we know that it's not just hard enough to prepare for a test, but I believe one of the hardest things that we may face in our life when it comes to tests is when we are tested and we don't pass the test. When we are faced with a test and we maybe studied very hard, we were preparing for it, yet we did not pass. And because of that, we're left discouraged. Just imagine going through elementary school, middle school, and then high school, and eventually you get to the 12th grade and you fail one of your classes. You needed just one more credit so you can pass and move on to college, but you failed. We know that that is such a discouraging thing. All because of one test, one little test, you couldn't move forward. Some of us may be finding ourselves this morning going through a period of time where we are tested, but not maybe necessarily with a test that is on pen and paper, but rather with the test that the Bible says we must all go through at some point in our life, and that is the test of our faith. Maybe some of us are going through a season of our life where our faith is just being tested. You feel a lot of pressure on you in one way or another, and all you can do is focus on, God, why am I going through this thing in my life? God, why am I experiencing such pressure in my life? What is the purpose of this trial? Why am I suffering for so long? And ultimately, when we fail the test, God, why am I failing this test yet again and not moving forward? How do we overcome the test of faith is maybe a question we've been asking ourselves recently as we've been experiencing struggle in that test or even failure. This morning, I want to look within God's word, and I want to be enlightened by what the scripture says here about overcoming when our faith is tested. And for this reason, I titled my message this morning, How to Overcome When Your Faith is Being Tested. How to overcome when your faith is being tested. Now, the first thing that we must do to overcome when our faith is tested is something that is often overlooked, but James speaks about it here. Notice in verse 2 it says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, this may be so confusing for us to accept this call to have joy in trials, because how is it something to be joyful about when you're going through something that does not make sense to you? When you're grappling with something that you are not able to overcome, or it's a struggle in your life, how is it possible to have joy? The only way that we could have joy when we go through the trial is to understand the purpose, the outcome, what's coming at the end of the test that we're in. With every single test that we face in life, there is a purpose. And the purpose is to produce something in your life. Look and notice what it says in verse 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, somebody say, produces. The testing of your faith produces, and the pastor says patience, but it's producing something. When we are tested in our faith, there is a goal. And oftentimes we are convinced and we tell ourselves there is no purpose in whatever it is that I'm going through. I don't understand it because it's so confusing. But the secret to overcoming and having that joy through trials is to ask God, God, what is the purpose in all of this? God, what is the purpose that you have with me through this trial? Because the moment that we understand, we could have something that we're aiming for. Because oftentimes in trials, because we don't have the goal, we don't see the dartboard and we don't see the bullseye, because we don't see it, we're throwing aimlessly. And we're just trying and trying, but we don't know what we're aiming for. There's no motivation to try and to keep on trying with the Lord. And that's why James is saying here, rejoice. There's something to look forward to. Something's being produced in your life. What person goes to the gym and is encouraged to go to the gym for the pain that they will endure? Have you ever seen somebody go to the gym and they were so excited to feel the tearing in their muscle, to feel the pain through the endurance as they run? I don't think I've seen, there's probably some people that are a little crazy out there that like it, but I don't think a lot of people enjoy pain when they go to the gym. But we find that there are people that go to the gym for whatever motivation is to build stamina, to build muscle, to grow stronger, to build that strength. They go because they have a goal in mind. And that's what gives them the joy to go, because they're working towards a goal. They're working towards strength. They're encouraged because there is an outcome that will come. This example could be seen as well with the woman that bears a child. And we see that even Jesus alludes to this in John chapter 16, verse 21. And Jesus said, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of the joy that the child was born into the world. There is an anguish when we see suffering in front of us. But the thing that enables you and empowers you to move forward is for the joy of what is coming, for the joy of what is being produced in your life. And God wants us to be encouraged by this. And that's why James is saying, count it all joy, brethren. There's something to look forward to. There's a prize, so to speak. There's a marathon that you're running, but you are running to win the prize. And even Paul says, I do not run this race in vain. I run to get the crown that is stored up for me, or righteousness that is for me through Christ. And that's why he fights the good fight of the faith, because he knows what he's aiming for. He knows what he's living for. And it's for the reward of being called a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of Christ. Amen. And brothers and sisters, when you go through trials, don't say, God, why am I going through this? Say, God, I know why. It's so I can become more and more like Jesus. So I can become more and more the man of God, the woman of God you're calling me to be. So many of us are asking God, God, I want to be more. I want to be more of the man that you're calling me to be. I want to be that young man that would go and evangelize and tell people about Christ. I want to be that person that can stand and be faithful to you when this world is faithless to you, God. And I want to do that, God. Be joyful when God sends the trial because he's answering your prayer. Be joyful when you're saying, God, I want to love people more, when God sends you that person that's hard to love. Maybe you're having a hard time loving somebody and you have this person that you can't love in your life. Take it as a blessing from God so God can produce love in your life. Maybe you're struggling and asking, why am I going through so much temptation in my life? You, oh man of God, who say, I want to be faithful to God. It's because God wants that, what you want to come through in your life. And he wants to show you that that's possible through him. And therefore, be joyful, remain in joy, because God has a purpose to make you the man of God, the woman of God he's calling you to be. Rejoice because of that. There is reason to rejoice. Therefore, the first thing that we need to do in order to overcome the test of our faith is to have joy. Have joy. Focus on the goal. Focus on what God is trying to do in your life. And I pray that God would help each and every single one of us to have our eyes on the prize of the things that God is working actively and he is going to finish in our life through Jesus. Amen. Now, the second thing that we must do in order to overcome when our faith is tested is we must do a self-check of our life. And we must make sure that the faith that is being tested, the faith that we have, is a faith that is in God and not in our own abilities. Now, verse 2 of James expresses the idea of the testing of your faith. And at the core of that phrase, it means what it sounds like, testing. The dictionary term for test means a procedure intended to establish the quality, the performance, or reliability of something, especially before it's taken out and widely used. Do you know that each time that your faith is tested, God is evaluating your faith? He knows where your faith stands, but do you know that God tests our faith so we can see where our faith has been placed in? God knows where it's at. And sometimes God is evaluating our faith to show us that our faith has been misplaced. Because truly, I know that we could assess each and every one of our lives, and we can know that there were times in our life where we did not choose to put our faith in God, and we struggled. And we did not have confidence in the trial and the suffering and the thing that we went through, all because God was trying to reveal to us something that he did not like. That boast that you made about your character, that I am a great man and I deserve something. Oh, that I overcame at all these things, and you know what? I know that I will overcome that. Oh, you know what? I am a man that has gone through college and I have a degree, and there is success for me in my life. And God sees those boasts that we make, and he says, my child, you misplaced your faith. My child, you've forgotten that I'm the one that got you there. I'm the one that allowed you to be there. And God is saying, watch it. I see your faith. It's under the microscope. It's being evaluated. It's being tested. And you've been found wanting. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. The temptation so many times when we go through trials is to lean on our own understanding, our previous experiences, instead of to lean on Christ with each and new experience we face in our life. And sometimes God, as he evaluates this, he's showing to us, he's resisting us, as he should rightfully do. Because James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And brothers and sisters, when we go through trials, we need his grace. When we go through trials, we need God's riches at Christ's expense. We need God's empowerment where we have no power. And the only way for us to receive that is when we humbly come before God and say, God, I can't do this on my own, but God, through you, I can. Just like Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, only through him. But don't have the audacity when you have those victories to say, I got there. Give credit to God. Give praise to God. Say, God got me here. God helped me to be here. When you feel that there's a resistance in your life, don't come to the conclusion to ask yourself, maybe it's not the enemy. Maybe it's not Satan coming up against me. Maybe God is in his love resisting. He's allowing everything to happen to get my attention. Maybe I'm struggling, and many times we struggle, and we don't realize that God is there holding us down because he's seen pride grow up in our lives. He's seen pride grow up in our hearts, and it's made us unusable before God. And when you go through struggles, ask God, God, have I been found wanting? Has my faith not been in you? John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. There's the grace abiding in Jesus. There's the grace abiding in the vine. There's the grace leaning on Jesus in every moment of your life and giving him the credit when the harvest comes, when the fruits come, to say, God, you brought this all into being, and I give my praise to you, my utmost praise to you. I give it to you because, God, you were faithful. God, you made this possible. Don't allow yourself to fail the test because you have misplaced your faith in yourself, or maybe you've misplaced your faith in somebody that maybe is big in your eyes, but he's just a man, he's just a woman as well. Don't place your faith in man. Don't place your faith in others. Place your faith in God because he alone will help you. And I pray that God would help us in this, that as we go through trials, we'd have the aspect of humility in our lives where we can walk in the victory because he lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. So God, help us with this. The third thing that we must do to overcome when our faith is tested is to let patience have its perfect work. Verse 4, look what it says. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God is trying to make us perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But there is a requirement that is said here in this verse that is necessary for our faith to shine through after it's been refined and to come through pure. And that is patience. Patience. A lot of times during the test of our faith, we are tempted to go to the tree that is bearing fruit and pick the fruits early because we're tired of waiting. And I think it's a beautiful picture that the way that James is presenting this here, that in order for you to see fruit in your life, to see good things come, to see the things that God are trying to produce in your life, you have to be patient. You cannot be in a rush. And virtue is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that we absolutely need in our life to cultivate, to have, because without patience, we are unable to move forward in this life. And brothers and sisters, there are times where we do not pass the test in life. We do not pass the test of faith because we're not willing to be patient with God. And we cause ourselves problems. We see with King Saul in the Old Testament, because of impatience, also because of his pride, but because of impatience, he lost the anointing of king. Back in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13, we see that Saul was given instructions as he was to go against the Philistines and to fight against them, that after he had the victory, he was to wait for Samuel to come back. And after 7 days of waiting, he will come and bring a sacrifice, a burnt offering at Gilgal, where there will be an honor given unto God for the victory that he provided. And we find that Saul, during this time where he was in this victory phase, where he was waiting for Samuel to come to bring the burnt offering, he got impatient. And oh, how sad it is how impatient he got. Because if he would have known that Samuel was just around the corner, he would have been more careful. But we see that at the 7th day, when he did not see Samuel show up, he got impatient and he said, you know what? Bring me the sacrifice. Bring me the fire. Bring me the altar. Let's give a sacrifice right now, because you know what? I'm not waiting anymore. We need to do this now. And he took things upon himself in his pride to think, you know what? God has delayed. I have to help him. God has delayed. I have to help Samuel. And we see the moment right after Saul set the sacrifice that Samuel came. And the Bible says he came right after. And Samuel rebukes him and says, you have lost the anointing as king. You have lost the position as king. God has rejected you. Now we thank God that he is merciful with us. And when we fail at times in our own impatience, he's merciful. He's patient with us. And we thank God that he continues to be this daily for us, setting the example that when we fail, we can say, God, have mercy on me. And he does. As we sang, great is his faithfulness and he is merciful. But imagine how sad it is when God wants to bring a blessing in your life. God wants to bring you to the next stage of your life and you fail because you just lost patience. And he said, God needs to be working on my time. God, you need to come through right now or else I'm going to fail. God has his own schedule and he's always on time. A lot of times we say God comes at the last moment. But brothers and sisters, God comes at the right moment. Don't allow yourself to believe what the enemy says. Oh, God's not coming. Nothing's going to happen. I'm going to this for nothing. And maybe you're at the very end of the test and God is about to confirm your faith. God is about to bring something different in your life and you just choose to give up. Don't give up on God, because God is patient with you. Just as he has been patient with us through all the failings of our life, through all the times that we have been unfaithful to him, he's been faithful to us and he continues to be the example to us. Have courage, have faith to move forward, because God is faithful. Be patient. Maybe the fruit that God is trying to produce in your life is right about ripe. Allow God to bring it to completion, because when it does come to completion, you'll be happy that you waited. We hear many stories of people that say they're happy that they waited in different contexts. And they were happy that they waited, whether it was for marriage, they were happy that they waited for somebody in their life, they waited for that job position, they waited for all those times they lost those job opportunities, but they were glad they waited because you know what? God didn't mess up. God knew what he had in mind, and it was all worth it. Allow God to help you to have the mindset when you're going through it all to say, God, help me to be patient. Just as you're being patient with me, I want to be patient with you. And may God help us all with this. With this, I want to conclude with just a quick recap. In order for us to overcome the test of our faith, there are three things that we need to do. First, we need to learn to make room to rejoice in the test. How can we apply this when we go to the test of our faith? Take time to thank God for allowing you to go through that test that you're going through. Allow God to change your attitude, to change your mindset from saying, God, why, to saying, God, I know why. And allow God to help you to say, God, I thank you that you brought this person in my life that's hard to love because you're building love in me like the love that you have for me. God, I thank you, God, that you're allowing me to go through such difficult moments in my life because now you're helping me to be more dependent on you. You're answering my prayer. I want to be more dependent on you. I want to be used more used by you. Thank you, God, that you're allowing this in my life because it helps me to know you more, to love you more. May God help us with this. The second thing that we need to do in order to overcome the test of our faith is to make sure our faith is grounded in Christ and Christ alone. How can we apply this in our life? Daily, allow yourself when you come before God in prayer to say, God, is my faith in you? God, for some reason, have I grown proud or thought that I have made it, that I have got to the place that I am because maybe I was strong or maybe I thought that I got here? Ask yourself, God, am I trusting in you truly or am I trusting in myself? It's a prayer that we have to do daily. And I want to warn you, do not let it be a monthly thing. Because so many times we wait until we fail, until we hit the wall and we see our pride for God to show us that, hey, you were proud and I wasn't able to help you. Daily come before God and say, God, I want your grace today. I want your grace tomorrow. God, only through you is it possible for me to face this test. And I give you all the credit and the glory that you got me through those tests in the past and you will get me through this test now. Praise be to God. May God help us with this. And lastly, the last thing that we're taught from the book of James here that we need to do in order to overcome the test of our faith is we need to let patience have its perfect work. Let patience be developed in your life. When you're going through a test, when you're going through difficulty, be patient. Don't try to resolve the problem on your own. Go grab a brother, grab a sister, go grab somebody from the church that you can ask them to pray with you, to help you to be more patient. Don't allow yourself to be pushed because you have a schedule, because your clock is running fast. Allow yourself to realize, God, I need to wait on you because if you don't move, nothing's gonna happen. God, if you don't move, nothing's gonna happen in this, and I'm not gonna rush ahead of you and try to help you. I want you and your provision alone. And I want to leave us with this. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. For all of us who are going through trials in this moment of our life, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Don't give up during the trial. God is with you. God is with us. Have joy, he is with you. Remain faithful to him and trust him because only through him it's possible. And again, remain patient because as you wait for God, he truly shall renew your strength. Amen. May God bless Emmanuel Church and may God bless us all. Amen.